Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Dave Brown, and you're in our service here, live stream from Beacon Falls Congregational Church here in Beacon Falls, Connecticut, and we want to welcome you to our live stream service today. And again, I want to share with our folks how much we miss one another as we are speaking to you from the sanctuary of our church, and it would be so much greater if we could see your faces here, but we know that many of you are watching, and we look forward to that day when we can all come together again and worship the Lord in person, face to face, and we'll just rejoice when that day comes. But as of now, we thank God for the technology that we have to be able to do this. I want to thank Joe McWilliams again for providing the music today. Did a great job, and as always, is a blessing to us. So I'm going to speak to you in a few moments from Daniel chapter 3 as I continue a brief series that we're doing on living above your circumstances. And we'll talk about today about how God is and willing and does go with us through the fires of life. But let me share with you a few announcements. And we'll have prayer a little bit later in the service. And if you have prayer requests, you can write those in to us today on Facebook Live, and we'll pray for you and your requests specifically at the conclusion of our service. But let me just share with you again a few of the things that are happening here at Beacon Falls Congregational Church. Again, let me remind you of our live stream broadcast every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and we ask you to stream to your own page, share the stream to your own page, and that others might be reached for and multiplied for God's glory. And so we just hope that you'll do that, and we'll be able to reach more and more people. Now, our spring Bible study starts this Thursday, May 7th. It'll run for five Thursday evenings from 6:30 to 8:30 via Zoom, and we're studying the study of Nancy Guthrie's Son of David, and it teaches us how to see Jesus in the Old Testament historical books. And if you need a book or you want to register, see Lisa, contact us in the office, and she will get you started on that right away. So that's our spring Bible study this Thursday, May the 7th. And then again, also the National Day of Prayer, that is also on May the 7th, Thursday at noon, 12 o'clock to 1 p.m., it will take place via Zoom, and our theme this year is Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So please join us as we pray for healing, protection, and wisdom for our nation and its people. And the Zoom link is on our website. And if you're not in the Beacon Falls area, you can go to the National Day of Prayers website and find the Zoom link and join in your city, in your area of the country. Again, let me remind you, we're still available to help folks. If you need our help, groceries, or you need help with Zoom or Facebook or whatever you may need, you let us know. Contact us here, and we'd be glad to help you. Or if you know somebody that is in need of help, please let us know, and we'll do everything we can to help. Email, text, call us here at the church, and we'll try to respond as quickly as possible. Again, lastly, we always want to thank those of you who are financially supporting this church and this ministry. You've been so generous and so giving during this time, and we're deeply, deeply grateful for your faithfulness, and many of you are giving in various ways, but again, we remind you, for those of you who would like to give online, just go to our website, and the directions on our easy and secure donation online button, you can give that way, and so we encourage you to do so. Now, also, today we want to go to the prayer, and we're going to speak in just a moment from Daniel chapter 3. But again, I remind you, send in your prayer requests, and at the conclusion of today's message, we'll remember those requests and pray specifically for those things that God's laid on your heart. Let's pray, right before our message and ask God to again to be with us, guide us, lead us, and bless his word today. Dear Father, we thank you so much. You are such an awesome, awesome God. We praise you, we honor you as our great, almighty God, most high God, our refuge, our high tower. You're our all in all. You're everything to us. And so we want to devote these few moments to you as we share the Word of God, the great and powerful Word of God that is, Lord, so true. I pray that you'll help us open our hearts to receive what you have for us today, that you will encourage folks, whoever's listening, watching our program this morning. I pray that you'll do a great work in their hearts and do in each and every one of us today what we cannot do for ourselves. If there's someone here that does not know you as Savior this morning, help them come to the truth, understanding that you and you alone, Jesus, are their solution. You died on the cross, paid for their sins. You rose from the dead to give victory over death. So we pray today that they might turn from whatever they're following and turn to you for everlasting life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Going through the fire. Jesus will do that for each and every one of us. You know, it's very easy in this world in which we live in to worship the wrong God. The scriptures speak much of idolatry. In fact, in Exodus chapter 20, that passage where we know more commonly that God gives us what is known as the Ten Commandments, he tells us there that we shall have no other gods before him, that we should not make a graven image and bow down and worship. We should not bow down and worship other gods. In Romans 1, 21 to 24, Paul takes up this subject. He said, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another." So idolatry is not just necessarily making an image, a statue, and bowing down and worshiping an inanimate object. It's also, there is idolatry that's practiced all the time in our society. And idolatry is simply loving something or someone more than God. Sometimes we make idols of our possessions, sometimes plenty, sometimes people. We worship people. Pleasure, prominence. Sometimes it's power or prestige that we want, and we literally make a god out of it. So we can worship the wrong god, but we also can worship the right god in the wrong way. 1 Samuel 15 reminds us in Saul's activities we read there that we're to worship God the way he instructs us, not the way we choose. We're not to make an image of God or make God into our own image and what we want him to be. Worshiping the true God in a wrong way is forbidden in Scripture. So here we come to a story today, one of the great stories in the Bible of the great pagan king, Nebuchadnezzar, who at that time in history was one of the most powerful men in the history of the world, certainly in that day, around 600 BC, where he ruled Babylon, and they were the empire, the power of the world. And it really is a story that talks about control. And I ask you this morning, who controls your life today? What controls your life? Let me read for you in Daniel chapter 3, the first 15 verses of this passage. "King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Who or what controls your life? You see, I think that we worship who or what is first in our lives. Nebuchadnezzar built a tremendously large image, a statue, 90 feet high, 9 feet wide at the base, and he commanded all of his subjects, all of his leaders in his empire, to bow down and worship. The image was probably of Nebuchadnezzar, and so he was calling his people to bow down and worship him. Control to a man like Nebuchadnezzar is a great priority. But I would submit to you today that control is a great priority for many of us. Many of us think that we're in control of our lives, but we must realize that there are many things that we have no control over. The current COVID-19 crisis that we've been in now for weeks and months has proven that, I think resoundingly it has proved to us that we are not in control of everything in our lives. But many of us believe that our control reduces our fears and that this will lessen our anxiety. Grasping, though, how little control we have could increase our anxieties. We must remember that God is totally in control. As we live in a time now where fear and worry seems to prevail, we've got to remember, even in spite of all of that, God is in control. If we understand that the God who is good and holy and always with us, as we talked about last week, if we realize that that God is in control, then our stress and our anxiety and our worry, all of those levels will greatly decrease. When we stop fighting for control, we can finally surrender to the one who is really in control. You see, it's when you're fighting for control, and that's a priority, then compromise can be a great pressure upon you because you'll do anything to keep control. This world is always going to pressure us to bow to something other than God because we feel so secure when we're in control. But this is so untrue. We're not always in control. When Nebuchadnezzar's band, here in our story, when it played, everyone bowed down except Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refuse to bow because they knew that God is good and holy and present, and he is totally in control. If you and I refuse to bow down to false gods, it may cause us to feel and to experience some stress and anxiety. Why? Because we're going to stand out from the crowd. Just like those three Hebrews, everybody bowed, and these three men stood up, and they were very conspicuous by their standing. King Nebuchadnezzar then, when he found out what had happened, he used fear and intimidation and manipulation to bring stress and anxiety into their lives when he told them if they didn't bow, they'd be thrown into the blazing, fiery furnace. That's how the enemy always works, you see. So we worship not only who or what that we put first in our lives, but we also worship who or what is the focus of our lives, what we focus on. These three Hebrews were dealing with a situation that was unplanned for, and they were unprepared for. If they had decided to focus on their circumstances, I would submit to you that they would have been totally crushed. Focusing on our circumstances allows those circumstances to control us. Those of us who are now focusing on this crisis, on the COVID-19, those are the ones of us that I believe are experiencing great fear. We can get so focused on our situation, on our circumstances, that we can't focus on Jesus Christ. And this means then that we must make a choice. And here's our choice. We will either focus on the size of our problem or we'll focus on the size of our God. We cannot do both. That's the reality. We cannot do both. Focusing on our circumstances and our problems always leads to stress and anxiety and worry and fear. But focusing on Jesus allows us to walk in freedom. If you focus on the voice of the problem, if you focus on the bigness of the crisis, you'll be controlled by fear because the problem will be greater than you are. But if you focus on God, who is bigger than your problem, then you'll be controlled by faith. And again, I would say to you, there is no middle ground. It's essential to be grounded in God's word because only its truth can shatter these lies that our enemy keeps submitting or transmitting to us, and it helps remove the stress and the anxiety. Focusing on God's promises always allows us to escape the potential prison of fear and worry that incorrect thinking can lead to us. Here's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. He said, when we use God's weapons in battles like this, knowing that it's a spiritual war, he said, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You see, it's simply this. We do have control over what we think about. We're not slaves to our circumstances. We're not slaves to our situation. We do have control over our thoughts. And when we focus on the Word of God, that's what helps us to break the chains of worry and fear and anxiety. So we worship what we put first in our lives, and we worship really what we focus on because that becomes what we react to, what we respond to, and the big example or the big emphasis in our lives. But I would say to you also that we worship God in the furnace of our lives when things get hot and heavy and very fearful, and very big. Listen what the story tells us in verse 16. As Nebuchadnezzar is talking to these three men now that have defied his order to bow to the statue. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. You see, these three men declared that they believed God was greater than their circumstances. They knew that God was great and able, and that he was holy and good, and he was in control, and he was able to rescue and save them. They clearly stated, however, though, that even if God did not rescue them, they wouldn't bow down to the circumstances, the pressure that was being exerted against them. I'm sure that you have thought, I know I have often, that if we said all the right things and if we did all the right things and we're a good person, then our lives would get easier and easier. Things would smooth out. Things would be nice and easy. But that's not what happens. Listen to verse 18. This is the Hebrews again speaking. But even if he does not rescue them, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods. We will not worship the image of gold that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. Remember, he had promoted them to honor because of their example before. Now he got very upset with them, and he ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual. 7 times hotter than usual. This is what religion teaches us, you see. Religion teaches us that if we do good and we say the right things, do the right things, everything will get better. But you see, some of us have to walk into a furnace that is 7 times hotter than we expected before we can really come out of our trial. Sometimes doing the right things, saying the right things, being the right kind of person, things don't get easier, they get worse. Perhaps you've experienced that. I know I have. But our problems, before it's all done, our problems may get 7 times hotter. Listen as we continue the story here. Nebuchadnezzar commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. Verse 21. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent, and the furnace was so hot, that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Yes, our problems may get a lot worse before they get better. These 3 Hebrews had done everything right, and God still allowed them to go into the furnace. The questions are very legitimate to ask. What about God being holy and good when the furnace, you're thrown in a furnace that gets 7 times hotter? What about God being with us and God being in control when we're thrown into that furnace, that fiery furnace that's 7 times hotter? Those are legitimate questions to ask in a time like this. But I say to you that just because we follow Jesus doesn't mean that we escape stressful and worrisome and anxiety-filled circumstances. And I want you to notice that their story isn't over yet, and neither is yours. No matter what's going on in your life, God's still in control. So I ask you this, how do you come through the fire safely? When you get into a situation like these men found themselves in, when things don't get better, they get worse, when they stand and try to do right, they're thrown into a fiery furnace that's lit up 7 times hotter. You and I, maybe we're feeling the same things. We've gone through those same things. How do you come through it? How do you get through the other side? Well, a couple of things. Number one, you look for God in your situation. Look for God. Look in verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement. He's just thrown them into the fire. And he asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. And he said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the Son of God. When we go through these kinds of troubles like we're going through now, it's so important to look for God in our situation. You see, so often we see what we're prepared to see. We see what we think we're going to see. Sometimes God has to shake things up for us to see something different. But if we allow the world to press us into its mold, we'll see the worst in every situation. If we allow the world to press us into its attitude of fear and anxiety and worry, then we'll all be all uptight with worry and doom and gloom instead of seeing everything through God's eyes. When God shows up, you see, he changes everything. When we realize that God's in charge, our perspective changes. Nebuchadnezzar, when he threw those men into the fire, he was ready to gloat. He was ready to really just laugh. He thought that he had won the battle, and he expected to hear their screams of torment. He was prepared to see destruction, but he was ill-prepared to see God move. As he looked into the fire, he saw not three men, but four men. And the fourth man in the fire, we realize, was Jesus Christ himself. But the men, those three Hebrews, didn't see Jesus until they got into the fire. Until they were thrown into that fiery furnace, they did not see Jesus. You see, sometimes when we're in the middle of circumstances that are creating intense stress and anxiety, when the fire gets seven times hotter than it is, then perhaps, ladies and gentlemen, that's when we ought to start praying differently. Maybe we ought to stop praying, God, get me out of this. God, save me. God, rescue me. And maybe we ought to start praying, Jesus, let me see you in this crisis. Let me see you in this situation, in these circumstances. You see, when we see Jesus clearly, we will follow him closely. We often won't see him clearly until we've been thrown into the middle of a fire that's seven times hotter than anything we have ever experienced before. Perhaps that's what you're experiencing now. Perhaps the crisis you're going through, perhaps you've lost your job, perhaps you've lost loved ones through this, perhaps you've lost income, and these are very difficult, very sad, very frightening times for you. But I want to say to you that Jesus gets our attention in the fire in ways that we never would have noticed if things were always going well. Sometimes it may be healing, might be deliverance, it might be provision in miraculous ways. But if you open your eyes in your situation and look for God, look for Jesus, you'll see that he is there, and he is good, and he's in control, and he will change you. So we look for God in the situation, and then we live in the liberty of Jesus Christ. Look with me in verse 26. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace. He's looking at these four men, and he shouts, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. Remember, they were bound. Now they're walking around. And the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them when they came out. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command, and they were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So not only should we try to see God Look for God in the situation. But secondly, when we're going through troublesome times like this, when the furnace gets heated up 7 times hotter, then we need to live in the liberty of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:17 tells us that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now Nebuchadnezzar, as he sees this scene unfold, throws these three men into the furnace, heightens it up, gets it hotter, so hot that the men who threw them in, they burned up and they died. He looks in the fire, he sees four men, so now he's just overwhelmed, he's blown away, he calls them out, and we see that he changes his mind about God. He went from, when he confronted the three Hebrews, he said, "What God? What God is this? Will he be able to rescue you from my hand?" So he went from, "Who is that God?" to verse 26, he calls him the Most High God. What a powerful testimony from this pagan king, this unbelieving king. You see, I think that one thing that's essential for those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, those of us who are Christians, it's so important as we claim to be followers of Jesus. We say, we give a testimony that he's all-powerful, he's God, he's in control. So it's important for us then as we navigate through this crisis that we understand that unbelievers are watching us. Those who do not know Jesus Christ are watching how we live our lives. They're watching how we walk through the fire. They're watching to see if we really have a reality in our faith, if we really believe what we say we believe. So times like this, folks, really help us to determine the reality of our faith. The way you and I respond to the flames, the way you and I respond and have responded to the COVID-19 crisis can teach people more about Jesus Christ than any sermon any preacher could ever preach. Because if we walk through the fire with faith that Jesus is with us, then unbelievers will sit up and they will take attention. They will pay attention to us. Because as you look at this, as these men came out of the fire, they saw very, very quickly that no hair on their heads was singed. There was no smell of fire on them or on their clothes. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, God is more powerful than we can grasp. And he proves it by handling what some would consider even the smallest details. They didn't get burned up at all. No smell of smoke at all. These men went into the furnace tied up, but they came out unbound. They walked out in their own power. And you see, the only thing that was burned off of them was what the enemy used to tie them down, the ropes. That was the only thing that was burned off. And it did not proceed to burn their clothes. It burned only the ropes. And I think that God wants to use the fire in your life, my life. He wants to use this crisis that we're going through right now to remove whatever the enemy of fear or stress or situations or circumstances, to remove that enemy, what he's been holding, what he's been using to hold us back. So that rope symbolizes all of those things that have kept us bound down. But our enemy, whatever it is, he tries to bind us up and put us in a place of destruction. But we also can come out of the fire unbound, just like these three Hebrews. We can come, if we keep our eyes on the Lord, we'll look for him in our situation. And we'll live in the liberty of Jesus and not let ourselves be bound up with our situation. We can come out stronger when this is all over. The church can be stronger if we'll just keep our eyes upon him. We too often believe that we go through the fire because God is punishing us. We think maybe God is mad at us and angry at us, and we begin getting all filled with guilt. But you see, the purpose of the fire is not punishment, but promotion. These three Hebrews stood for God. God stood with them. And then when it was all over, they didn't just stay where they were. Nebuchadnezzar promoted them. And who knows what's ahead for you, for me. If we stand for God, we look to God in this situation, we live in the liberty of Jesus, what might he do in our lives? Romans 8:28 tells us that all things work for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I'm not saying, and God's not saying, that everything that happens is good, but God has the power. He's got the ability to turn even bad things around for good. And I think that's going to happen in the crisis that we are in right now. Let me just review a little bit as we wrap things up. I want to think just a moment of the presence of Christ in the fires of life. First of all, as you look at this story, how many men went into the fire? Well, three. We know that. How many men were seen in the fire? Well, we saw four down in the fire. Who was that fourth man? That fourth man was Jesus. How many men came out of the fire? Three. Well, if that's the case, then where's Jesus? Well, I would say to you that he's still in the fire. Listen to what God says in Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3. But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. We will not be burned in the fire because he is in the fire himself. And he will walk with us through whatever flames we have to journey through. He will protect us. He will keep us. He will make us stronger on the other side. God bless you. I hope that's an encouragement to you today. And I want to wind up our time, finish our time today by going to the Lord in prayer. And if you're watching this morning's program, I pray if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it can be a very uncertain time, very fearful time. And you may not know how to trust him because he's not your Savior. Let me encourage you to turn from your sins, to turn from anything that is you've been worshiping or you've been following, that Lord, that you will turn to the Lord. Accept Jesus as Savior. Repent from your sins. Ask him to forgive you, to cleanse you, as he died for your sins. He rose from the dead to destroy the enemy, to destroy he who has control over the fear of death. And I encourage you to trust him now. And if you don't know him, but you'd like to know him, contact us here. We'll show you how you can know Jesus as Savior and how he can give you everlasting life. Let me pray for you right now. Jesus, we ask you. There are those who do not know you who are watching today. I pray that you'll bring them to yourself. Give them faith and trust to understand your story of salvation. Turn from their sins and turn to you and trust you as their Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being a part of our service today. If we can help you in any way, please contact us. We'd love to minister to you in any way, but God bless you. Let's continue to look up, look to him. He has the solution. He's the answer. He's the Most High God. God bless you. Have a great day. Thank you.